This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and praise be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the great prophet and the messenger of Allah. My brothers and my sisters, here we are once again, living the life and the biography of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Holy Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Indeed, O Muhammad, we sent you a mercy to the entire mankind. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a mercy, not to the Muslims, not to the Arabs, but the entire mankind, from the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the day of judgment sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of the rights of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon you, upon me, upon us all, that when the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned, we send salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we say, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, Allahumma salli wa sallam barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad. However you say it, as long as that you send salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam makes mention and says that the selfish person is the one that my name is mentioned before them, and he does not send salutations upon me. So sallallahu wa sallam ala Sayyidina Muhammad. In particular, in a night like tonight, which is the Friday night, I know it's Thursday, but according to the Islamic custom or the Islamic understanding, it is Friday night, and Friday night and Friday day and night are those moments that we increase from the salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In particular, that tonight we'll be talking about, and we will continue with what we left you with last week, and that is the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the great hijrah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. The hijrah marks a very important moment for the Muslims, so much so that during the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum was sitting down amongst each other and they were discussing about starting a new Islamic year. Before that, they were following the customary year, the one that the Arabs were following. So when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, and then it was Abu Bakr, and after Abu Bakr it was Umar, Islam had expanded and Islam had grown to the extent that Muslims needed their own calendar. So when the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum sat down and they spoke about when should we mark the beginning of that calendar, they all gave different opinions. One said from the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the other one said from the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one said from the revelation of the Quran and the first revelation upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one said from the opening of Mecca. So different Sahaba gave different opinions based on important occasions and events that took place during the time of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. At the end, they all agreed the most important event out of all events was the migration and the hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's how important it is. Because the hijrah was a turning point. It was a turning point for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the followers and the Sahaba of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. So now the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had prepared himself to migrate from Mecca to Medina, as we've spoken about last week. And we heard the planning and the plotting of the people of Quraysh against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam of the planning and the plotting of the people of Quraysh. وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. When the people of Quraysh had planned and plotted, had conspired in killing you, O Muhammad, in exiling you, in locking you and incarcerating you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَمْكُرُونَ, they plan and plot. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans, وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ, and Allah is the best of planning. You could plan. They could plan as much as they want. But at the end of the day, the planning of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always succeed and exceed any planning of any creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves behind Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And we mentioned that, but we didn't emphasize on it. But tonight I want to emphasize on it. How the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam decided to leave Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu behind, to sleep on his bed, to sleep on his pillow, to cover himself with his blanket, while the people of Quraysh are conspiring in killing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam walks out of his home right in front of those 12 young men without any of them seeing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam meets with Abu Bakr, and then they'll continue with their journey. Why did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam leave behind Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu? The primary reason that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam left behind Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was not only for Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu to divert the attention of the people of Quraysh, and for Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu to sleep on the bed of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When the people of Quraysh storm into the house of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, they'll find a different person than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam on the bed of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in which we spoke about. But one of the reasons why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam left Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu behind is that the people of Quraysh, and listen to this and the irony of this, the people of Quraysh, the leaders of Quraysh, who were fighting against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who are combating the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who had exerted all efforts in fighting against the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and speaking against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and hindering the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, they were the same people when they had valuables, when they had gold and silver, when they had money, they entrusted no one except the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. We're talking about the likes of Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and Utbah, and all those people were fighting against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who opened war against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who waged war against the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. They'll be speaking against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the day. They'll fight against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the day. They'll continue hindering the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the day. But then at night, when they have money, when they have valuables, they trust no one but the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Jahl and Utbah and Rabi'ah and all those people will come to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to him, "Oh Muhammad, can you please take care of our own goods? Can you take care of our own gold? Can you take care of our own valuables? Can you take care of this? Can you take care of that?" So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to migrate and leave Mecca to Medina without alerting the people of Quraysh when and how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is migrating. And if the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is going to go to his enemies and tell him, okay, Abu Jahl, Utbah, Rabi'ah, Abu Lahab, okay, here's the goods and here's the valuables that you entrusted me with, I'm giving them back to you because I want to migrate, that's not smart and wise. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is migrating from Mecca to Medina discreetly and quietly because these people are full at war against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they're doing anything to stop the Prophet alayhi wasallam or even kill the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam left behind Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam leaves Medina, leaves Mecca, after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam migrates from Mecca, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu will take the goods and the valuables of the people and the leaders of Quraysh, who are the enemies of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and return them back to them. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Ali, this belongs to this person, and this belongs to that person, and this belongs to this person, and that belongs to that person. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was briefed by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exactly what belongs to who. So upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrating from Mecca to Medina, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to the people of Quraysh and the leaders of Quraysh that they had entrusted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with trust, and returned their belongings and their valuables back to them. Question. These valuables, we're talking about assets, belongings, gold and silver, money, wealth that belonged to the enemies of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that belonged to people who are fighting against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that belonged to people who will do anything to hinder and block the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, including killing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the followers of the Prophet alayhi wa sallam. Why didn't the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ turn around and say, you know what, I'm going to keep this money to myself? Because this money belongs to the people who are trying to fight me. This money belongs to the people who are against me. This money belongs to the people who do anything to kill me and my followers. Let me keep this money. It belongs to me. It's halal now. And you know what? Stuff them all. Why didn't the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ do that? Because when someone entrusts you, even if he's a non-Muslim, you must honor that trust. It doesn't work in the other way. You can't turn around and say, wallahi, kuffar, infidel, enemy of Islam. You know what? He's the worst of people and he's the scummiest of people on the face of this earth. That's what I'm going to do to them. It doesn't work that way. When you are entrusted with something, or when you agree to something, you must honor them. You must honor them. What's relevant to us here, when you enter a country like Australia, or you take the citizenship of Australia, or any Western country, and you agree that you abide by the laws of this country and the laws of this land, you must honor it. You can't turn around and say, kuffar, enemies of Islam, do this, do that, I'm not going to honor it. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. When you agree to something, you must honor that agreement. When you agree to a contract, you must honor that contract, regardless who's behind this contract. Muslim, non-Muslim, non-Muslim, enemy, not enemy. You agree to, you don't agree to, you agree with, you don't agree with. You must honor that agreement. And look what the Prophet Muhammad said. You can't get a worse situation, worse enemies, than those who have been fighting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam openly, and those who have been fighting against every single thing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam does. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has the opportunity to flee and escape with their wealth. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam didn't do that. He left behind Ali radiallahu ta'ala and instructed him, said to him, you return those belongings and valuables to those people. Who are those people? The worst of people to Islam and Muslims. The worst of people to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So my brothers and my sisters, something for us to reflect upon. You can't just go and break the law because it's a kafir country. You can't go and break the law just because, wallahi, the head of state or the head of this country is someone who speaks against Islam. It doesn't work that way. You've signed to something, you agree to it, you honor it. That's it. It stops over here. Exactly what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam did. And that's what we'll learn from the hijrah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. There are so many lessons that we can learn from the hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, including the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam migrating in the company of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had chosen Abu Bakr out of all people. And we've spoken about the story where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr hid in a cave called the Cave of Thawr, which is in the opposite direction to Medina. Medina is up northwest. So northwest, the Cave of Thawr is southeast. So it's totally opposite direction. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went in the Cave of Thawr, him and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and stayed in that cave for a few nights and days to divert the attention of the people of Quraysh. Now the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr are there for a few nights and days, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will receive food from the daughter of Abu Bakr. Her name is Asma. Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr. She came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr numerous times, delivering food to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr, to the extent that while she was wrapping the food, she had nothing to wrap it with, so she ripped off some of her garment, and she wrapped it off, and she wrapped it with her garment. She wrapped the garment with two of her belts, so the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nicknamed her as Dhati al-Nataqain, the one of the two belts, the one of the two belts. After staying there for a few days and nights, and as we mentioned, that the people of Quraysh came around searching for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, climbed that mountain, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blinded their eyes without seeing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After Abu Bakr is saying, oh Messenger of Allah, I am scared and concerned over you. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, don't be afraid, la tahzan inna Allah ma'ana, Allah is with us. After a few days and nights, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr will resume their journey from the Cave of Thawr along the coast of Medina to Medina, which is a route or a path that the people of Quraysh don't usually take because it's a long road. It's the long path. usually get direct from Mecca to Medina. But this time, they took the long route. And some of the amazing events that took place while the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu traveling and migrating is that what the scholars refer to within the journey of the migration and the hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam back from Mecca to Medina, so many amazing events took place. We can't mention every single one of them, but the scholars do refer to that this journey was one of the most fruitful da'wah journey of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was traveling between Mecca and Medina. And Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was very close to age to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was only 2 or 3 years, like roughly 2 to 3 years difference in age between the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. So if you look at them, especially at the age, they're very close in age. Many times while the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr were traveling, people, they'll cross paths with people. They were crossing paths with people. And the word was out there about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as companion, and the people of Quraysh did put a reward. They put a reward on the head of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr, dead or alive. It was a great opportunity for a poor person just to become rich overnight, just to capture the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So whenever they cross paths, in particular with strangers, a stranger will ask the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ask Abu Bakr, who's he to you? And Abu Bakr will say, he is my guide. He is my guide. And usually when they used to travel, they used to have a guide. And yes, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Abu Bakr's guide. A guide to where? Not to Medina, a guide to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A guide to Allah azza wa jalla. And along the journey of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr, there was a place in between Mecca and Medina. Where usually the people of Mecca and Medina, when they are traveling between those two cities, it's like a resting area, a transit area, known as the place of Abu Ma'bad and Ummu Ma'bad. It's like a place of Bedouins where farming people, they've got a tent there. And usually the people of Quraysh and Medina, when they travel in between the two cities, they'll stop over there overnight, eat, drink and rest and pay Abu Ma'bad and Umm Ma'bad some money. Now the word is out there, keep that in mind. Most people between Mecca and Medina, most tribes and Arabs, most people are living between Mecca and Medina know about the story of Muhammad and Abu Bakr and the reward on the head of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr, including Umm Ma'bad and Abu Ma'bad. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached the abode of Umm Ba'bad, which is a tent with a bit of cattle, with a bit of goats. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived there, Abu Ma'bad at that moment, who wasn't there, Umm Ma'bad was left behind, and Abu Ma'bad wasn't there. Abu Ma'bad went out pasturing his herd somewhere around to find a place where his herd or his sheep can eat something. It was a dry moment on a dry land. So he had to go far for him to find a place where he could graze or a place where he could pasture his herd. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived to Umm Ma'bad's tent, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam introduced himself as an ordinary man. Umm Ma'bad saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from the very moment she laid eyes on the face of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she knew that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a dignified person, an honorable person, a man of great status. But she didn't know who was this man. She didn't know the full details of this man. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon introducing himself and the way he spoke and the way he presented himself, and the way the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam behaved and conducted himself, these are the gestures and motions that captivate someone to someone else. And there's no one greater presentable than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the way he behaves, in the way he conducts himself, in the way he speaks sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the way he dresses, in the way he smiles, alayhi salatu wasalam. So much so that the scholars say that no one described the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in more detailed and beautiful description than Umm Ba'bad.
The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will ask her, do you have any food for us to eat? Any milk for us to drink? So she said, no, you came in a very tough, hard, challenging time. Drought, not much food. Most of the goats and the herd that we have doesn't have or don't have much milk. No milk in the udder. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned around and he saw an old goat. He saw an old goat. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told her, what about this goat? Does it have milk? So she said, it's an old goat. No milk and barely can even move. He can't even barely move or even make a motion. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, would you allow me, would you permit me for me at least to try? She said, it's an old goat and it's dry and you're not going to find anything in its udder. There's nothing to lose. Go and do what you need to do. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam wiped over the udder and then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam started to milk the goat. And subhanallah, milk will gush out. Milk will come. Milk is coming down, subhanallah. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to drink from it. Abu Bakr drank from it. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave Umm Ma'bad milk. And Umm Ma'bad is shocked. How did you get milk out of this old dry goat? Like, you know, it's an old goat. Doesn't have milk. It's dry. We know it. She saw the blessings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam left. When the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam left, Abu Ma'bad returns back. When Abu Ma'bad returned back, he left with no milk in their bowls. There's no milk. So he returns back and he finds a bowl full of milk. He finds cups full of milk. Where did you get this milk from? She said, from this goat. Abu Ma'bad said, are you trying to pull my leg? Are you trying, like, you know, to make mockery of me? Oh no, this goat doesn't have milk. I left from here today in the morning. It was an old, dry goat that doesn't have milk. That's when Umm Ma'bad returns and she says, yes, someone went past, an honorable man. His face is like the face of a full moon. Blessings came from him, so beautiful and respectful and presentable. He came past and through him the blessing came. So Abu Ma'bad said, maybe that's the man that the people of Quraysh are talking about, a prophet and a messenger. And miracles appear on his hands, but the people of Quraysh are saying it's magic. She said, he's everything but magic. Very honorable, very respectful. Like, you know, when you deal with someone, you know that this person is a magician, or this person is intellectual, this person is respectable, this person is a thug. You understand while you deal with these people. So subhanAllah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left behind a very good impression that some narrations even say that Abu Ma'bad and Umm Ma'bad later on became Muslims. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pursues his journey from Umm Ma'bad's tent to Medina. Now the word is around. The word is around that Muhammad and his companion Abu Bakr had fled and escaped Mecca to Medina. Whoever captures them, dead or alive, 100 camels. You could become rich overnight. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is traveling. When they were traveling, one of the Arabs saw two strange men traveling in the middle of the desert. And you know, you're talking about people who reside at a particular place. They know it inside out. They know it inside out. They know what's going on. So they saw two strange men, or he saw two strange men. He went back to his residence. He went back to his tribe. They were gathering together. When he entered, he told the oldies, or he told the people, the men who were gathering in that tent. He said, I just saw two strange men traveling on two mounts. Those two strange men could be Muhammad and his companion, the people of Quraysh are talking about. Does anyone know who they are? So there was a man by the name of Suraqa ibn Malik. Suraqa ibn Malik, he's one of the tribe members of this tribe that this man walked in and said, I just saw two strange men traveling through a desert. Maybe they are Muhammad and his companion. Suraqa picked up on it and he looked around. What, there's around 10 of us. If we all come out and capture Muhammad and then we get the reward that the people of Quraysh had promised and put on the head of Muhammad, that means 10 out of 100, each one of us will get 10 camels. It's not worth it. He was smart. Typical Arab. So he turned around and said, No. Those two men are from me. I know them very well. I just sent them on a mission. They're not Muhammad and his companion. To divert the people or his tribe away from coming together and pursuing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And he sat there for a bit. After everyone calmed down and forgotten about those two men, he picked himself up and went on his horse and pursued the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Typical Arab. Pursued the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam to capture the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and Abu Bakr, to hand them over to the people of Quraysh and get in return the 100 camels which was set as a reward on the head of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam and Abu Bakr. Suraqa narrates this story. Upon me pursuing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam and Abu Bakr, from far I could see them. I could see the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam and I could see Abu Bakr. The moment I came near them, suddenly the ground just made my horse sink into it. I got up, normal. It's a sinking ground. I picked up my horse, pursued the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam once again, and the ground just sunk my horse into it. That's not normal. I know this land. I know where the dunes are. I know what's this and I know what's that. He picked his horse again, and some narration says he pursued them the third time, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his horse sink in the ground. So he came back to his senses and he'd realized, you know what? There's something hidden here. There's something unusual here. So from far he started to call upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr. Oh Muhammad, Abu Bakr, come back. I mean no harm. Just let me talk to you. I just want to understand what's going on. I've never experienced something like this. I live on this land. I know it inch by inch. This is the first time that my horse sinks in. I knew there's something behind you. And he said, I'll promise you, I will never say anything. Just come back. I want to talk. You know, when you're in that confused, bazzled moment, like you want to know what's going on here. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr returned back. While Suraqa is in full submission, confused over what's going on and what's happening, he speaks to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks back to him, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, all we want from you is not to talk about an encounter. Don't mention anything about us. We understand that the people of Quraysh are after us, and he was just trying to do that. All I ask you, not to do anything in return. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, O Suraqa, wouldn't you love one day that you'll be the one that carries the jewelry of the Persian emperor? Wouldn't you love that one day, you, the man from the middle of the desert, wouldn't you love one day that you'll be the one carrying the Persian emperor's jewelry, gold and silver? When you think about it, look, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Someone like Suraqa, Bedouin in the middle of the desert, will get his hands on and hold the jewelry of the Persian emperor, who is one of the most powerful men at that time in the world? Just doesn't make sense. Like, you know, you say that to anyone, like, that's far-fetched. Like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? It's like you come into someone, how much do you have in your pocket? $10. How much are you worth? $100. Okay, there's a property that's worth $10 million. Buy it. Look, I just told you I've got $100. Look, this huge discrepancy here. It just doesn't make sense. You, Suraqa, a Bedouin, an Arab, probably never came out of his desert and his tent. He'll be in a position to possess or hold the jewelry of the most powerful man on the face of this earth, the Persian emperor. I'm fast forwarding 20 years after this event. During the time of Umar al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when the Muslims conquered Persia, and the jewelry of Khosrow and the Persian emperor came all the way to Medina. It was 20 years after this event, where Umar ibn al-Khattab will call upon Suraqa ibn Malik. Oh Suraqa! Where's Suraqa? Bring him to me. And Suraqa comes with grey hair, old man. And he says to him, see this? I want you to make the promise of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam come true. Carry it with your own hands. And it was the jewelry of the Persian emperor. How did this happen? How did this come about? It's the prophecy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even Prophet Suraqa was doubtful. Fuck, you know, what are you talking about? Me? One day carry the jewelry, the gold and silver, the jewelry of the Persian emperor? Like, just doesn't make sense. Very hard to grasp and comprehend. But it's the prophecy and nubuwwah, the prophecy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues with his journey alongside Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an. And subhanAllah, one of the things that struck the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that sometimes Abu Bakr stands towards the right hand side of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes Abu Bakr is towards the left hand side of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes Abu Bakr is in front of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sometimes he's behind the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he just continues to change his position around the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Usually when he travels with someone stands next to you and see they stick there. But this person is here, then he comes there, then he stands there, then he stands there. That's unusual. That's unnormal. It's abnormal. It's not the norm. And you know what? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam picked up on it. And he told him, like, you know, hold on. Like, Abu Bakr, like, what's this thing about you? One's towards my right, one's towards my left, one's in front of me, one's behind me. Sit still and stand next to me, just one position. What are you doing that for? So Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu turns around and says, O Messenger of Allah, I remember the enemy coming towards your right, so I stand towards your right to protect you. Then I remember, they might come behind you, so I stand behind you to protect you. Then it will cross my mind, they might come towards your left and attack you from your left side. So I stand towards your left to protect you. Then I think about it. Maybe they'll come from the front and come and attack you. And then I stand in front of you to protect you. O Messenger of Allah, if I get killed, I'm just an ordinary man, ordinary follower, ordinary human being. But if you get killed, the entire Islam dies. Love, care, compassion, defense, and protecting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look how far these people went. And then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will continue his journey. During his journey sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will go past Buraida ibn al-Husayb al-Aslami, in which him and his tribe members had 80 houses. So along the way, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went past a town or a Bedouin nomads, a little town, tents, whatever you call them, an abode, residency, where there were 80 homes led by a man, his name is Buraida. There the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam presented Islam to them, called them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they all became Muslims. Yes, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is traveling. Yes, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is escaping from the people of Quraysh. But at the same time, he's still the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah that calls to Allah. So he's making his da'wah an effort, calling to Allah Azza wa Jal. 80 homes embraced Islam. And so many events during this duration and journey in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam travels from Mecca to Medina, so many homes, tribes, individuals the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will cross paths with, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam invites him to Islam. And then they embrace Islam. Until that moment, that great moment, most beautiful moment, the most honorable day that Yathrib and Medina and the people of Yathrib and Medina had ever encountered was upon the arrival and migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Medina. On Monday, the 8th of Rabi'il Awwal, 14 years after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam received his first revelation, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will enter Yathrib, in which later on it will become Madinat Rasulillah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the people of Medina and the Sahaba who had already migrated from Mecca to Medina, and the Muslims who had embraced Islam in Medina, are all hearing and waiting anxiously for the arrival of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They all know the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is on his way, but just don't know when he's going to arrive. When is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? When does the plane land? When does the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam land in Medina? This is something they didn't have. They didn't have a website for them to go and check, or they didn't have any navigation for them to find. Waiting for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam anxiously. Wouldn't you be waiting for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam anxiously for him to arrive to the city that you live in? What a beautiful moment. You sleep and wake up just thinking about that moment the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will be arriving to your home, to your city. And the people of Medina, the Sahaba, the Muslims, every single morning when the sun rises, they'll go out waiting on the outskirts of Medina for the arrival of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, until midday where it becomes so hot they can't bear the sun anymore, they go to their shelter. So on the 8th of Rabi al-Awwal, on Monday, 14 years after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had received the revelation, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu arrived to Medina. They arrived to Medina during midday. That morning, the 8th of Rabi al-Awwal, on Monday morning, they all came out after sunrise, anxiously waiting, searching, looking. Did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam arrive? Up until midday, where it became so hot, they couldn't bear the heat, so they went to their shelter. That moment, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam arrived. He arrived during a moment where everyone was just sheltering themselves and everyone else is in their home. Who picked up on the arrival of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? One Jewish man who was farming outside his home. And he heard about the arrival of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. People waiting for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Every morning he sees people just coming out, standing on the outskirts of Medina, waiting for someone to arrive. He picked up on it. From far, during that time and moment when everyone else went home waiting for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, or after waiting for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam for hours and hours and hours, he saw two men arriving from far. So he called upon the people of Medina and said, "All believers, all Muslims, he's the grandfather that you are waiting for." So they all came out to see two men on their mount traveling, arriving to Medina. And upon the first destination the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived to was Quba. That's the entrance the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived, which is the most greatest, most honorable, happiest moment for the people of Medina. The Sahaba always say, especially after the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most brightest, happiest, honorable moment that we had ever experienced in Medina is when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived to Medina. The darkest, saddest moment that we've ever had in Medina is when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. So here the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrives to Yathrib, Quba, where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam enters. Quba, been welcomed by the people of Medina and been welcomed by the people of Quba. And you find that the people of Medina coming out on that day, welcoming the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, chanting, "Tala al-badru alayna min thaniyat al-wada', wajaba al-shukru alayna ma da'a lillahi da'a, ayyuha al-mab'uthu fina, ji'ta bil-amri al-muta'." What a beautiful moment and day for the people of Medina. What a beautiful moment for the believers, for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to arrive to them. And there the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will enter Medina. Quba is about 6 km from the city center of Medina. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam resides in Quba and establishes the first mosque before the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Quba was established before it. So the first mosque the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had established was the masjid of Quba. There the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will stay in Quba for 4 days and nights. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. On Friday, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam migrates, or the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam travels from Quba to Medina. Upon the entrance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to the city center of Medina, amazing events take place. And you'll see the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam establish the first Islamic state with the amazing structure and establishment and foundation being practiced by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the believers that we'll talk about bi-idhnillahi ta'ala next week. Stay tuned. Looking forward to seeing you next week. If you miss out on coming here at TUMA, you could go online. May Allah reward you all. Subhanaka Allahumma hamdaka nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. If you enjoy our content, be sure to give it a thumbs up. If you're on Facebook, like our page. And if you're on YouTube, be sure to subscribe. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.